Today on the Callahan Podcast, well, we'll try to make sense of this. Overnight, while you were sleeping, four St. Louis police officers were shot. One New York cop was beaten on video, beaten by a couple of thugs. Another New York cop was run down with a car, also on video. And a Buffalo police officer was run down with a car. It is open season on cops out there as the carnage continues, as Antifa continues to run wild. And what do we have here in Boston? You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. The Boston Police Commissioner says politicians have told him they don't want cops to wear protective headgear because, and I quote, it might be intimidating to protesters. We get all the details. Shattuck is here. Cullinane's here. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, brought to you, as always, by DCU. Whether you're buying your first home, your dream home, or looking to refinance the home you love, DCU may have the mortgage program to fit your needs and, more importantly, your budget. Their mortgage experts will walk you through the application process and help remove the hurdles that can make it a difficult and confusing process. They'll bring you right up to the front steps of home ownership. Learn more about rates and programs or to apply today at dcu.org/mortgage. DCU is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 466914, insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Colleen, let's do this.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
I got a question for you, Colin. And this is day whatever, 3-4 of total chaos out there, civil unrest, rioting, looting, chaos. Cops, we'll get to all of it. Overnight, cops are being run down with cars and shot at and forced to kneel before their masters in Antifa and beg for mercy. It's really kind of pathetic out there for the boys in blue. They're getting no support, as usual, from politicians, particularly in our neck of the woods. We'll get to that. We'll get to the spineless leaders we have up here in New England, the governor, the mayor, the attorney general, all embarrassing themselves. But first, I have a question. It's simple. It's just bugging me. I think of this all day as I watch the coverage, right? We know, we all agree, what Derek Chauvin did, killing George Floyd. We all condemn that, correct?
Correct.
You condemn it, Tom?
Yes. Yep.
Colleen, you condemn it. Everyone condemns it, right?
Yep.
I've heard from thousands of commentators, phone callers, you know, experts, people on the street, man on the street. I've not seen one person defend Derek Chauvin in any way. No way. Like he was doing his job, or you don't understand the fear they lived through, and you don't know the police protocols. None of that. Not one person, right? Why can't we have the same consensus when it comes to looting? Why can't we have the same condemnation, universal condemnation, when it comes to Antifa? Why do these people, and I give you a few, you know, the attorney general, the governor, everybody on CNN, on MSNBC, why does everything have to be qualified? And they say, yeah, but they're mostly peaceful and they're full of rage and it's righteous anger. Why can't everybody, and you know, God knows around here, I made a whole list of people I've seen, heard, media people, politicians, who can't just say these people are scum. They're destroying our neighborhood. They come up with excuses. They say, oh, they're out-of-towners, Tom. They don't come from here. And then we get the police reports. We get the arrests, and they're lying. They're lying to us. They're not out-of-towners. You know, sure, there are some professionals in Antifa who are stoking the flames, but they're not these scrawny Antifa punks, and we've seen them. They're not the ones going in the stores in our neighborhoods and walking out with, you know, a pair of sneakers or a watch. They're not. Why can't everybody say what we say, what everybody is thinking? Like, if you loot a store in your neighborhood, if you break a window, you're a piece of garbage. I mean, that's it. That's it. Why is that so hard to do?
You know why it's so hard to do, Jerry, and it has to do with a certain person yesterday who had the audacity to walk across the street with a Bible in Washington, D.C. And they cleared the street for the president. That's weird. And the CNN anchor who was on the roof next to it, Secret Service came up to the roof, and she said, nobody told us. There's Secret Service everywhere. Armed Secret Service has come up to this level where we're looking down here. If you've ever been around the president at all, they clear the streets for the president all the time because somebody can take a shot at him, and that creates destabilization, I would say, in the government. No, it's crazy. You're right. And you can tell that these reporters, that the edit desks are telling these reporters, the city desks, first and foremost, this is peaceful. There is nothing out of the ordinary happening. This is a peaceful protest, and this is a justified protest, first and foremost. So we have the MSNBC reporter low crawling in a field as fireworks are shot over her head, and other folks, you know, pretending, although we can see it. We can see what's happening. They're pretending.
It is remarkable.
Talking, Ali Velshi. Well, there's an inferno behind him, as if everything's fine.
But why can't we separate the two, though? Because if the peaceful protesting isn't happening, isn't the looting still happening at night? Isn't it still going to happen?
Yes, I mean, that's a good point. Here's how we separate it, Dave. Simple. The peaceful protest, and by the way, wouldn't that be redundant? If it's not peaceful, then it's not a protest.
Right.
If it's not peaceful, it's a riot. It is looting. It is chaos. It is criminal. So peaceful protests, which every one of these pandering pukes in our, you know, congressional delegation, our governor, I mean, they say it over and over as if people forget that there were actual protests. It's simple that during the day, daylight hours, whatever, evening, early evening, we see peaceful protests. Actually, we don't. We see protests. They're not breaking the law. There's no need, you know, to arrest them. There's no need to tear gas them. When it gets dark, when there's a curfew, and that's when the scum comes out. That's when the cockroaches come out and cause all the damage. It is simple to separate the two. Nobody cares. I should say nobody, but law enforcement, the cops, the police commissioner, they're not talking about peaceful protesters when they're talking about people destroying their neighborhoods. Here's the tweet from our attorney general in Massachusetts, Marcia Healey. She says, the president has no right to send in troops to stop a peaceful protest. I mean, I know she thinks we're stupid. You know, lots of people voted for her. Obviously that she doesn't really think they're very bright and most of them aren't, but consider that an attorney general. I wouldn't call it lying, but certainly making a really dumb point. Why would the president send in troops to stop a peaceful protest? I mean, it's silly. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what anyone's demanding.
I think the challenge they're having is there's three things they want to do. One, obviously, everything comes back to Trump. So Trump is bad and they have to reinforce that. Two, legitimately, like we talked about, George Floyd should not be dead. And there is a serious problem with police going, I think it's 1,000 a year or whatever, police, you know, going too far. And is there a problem with racial engagement with cops? Certainly it happens, but that's a larger conversation yet. But yeah, those are legitimate things. Absolutely. The third thing that kind of dilutes the entire narrative is that when you have a bunch of young people taking a 2x4 to the head of a middle-aged woman trying to protect her business and wantingly beating the hell out of her and enjoying it and jumping up and down and laughing about it, that's also a serious problem. That means there's something culturally bad happening in this country. And that, I think, to them is it's an inconvenience. So they have to now pretend that that's not happening or that they have to minimize that.
Right. And you think of this, the people who are peacefully protesting, who are genuinely upset about what happened to George Floyd, wouldn't they be the first to complain, to scream about the people hijacking their protest, their peaceful protest, right, using them? I mean, if you're supportive of the folks who are marching and, you know, have signs and say, you know, for George, justice for George, if that's your cause, if that's why you're upset, then you should really be pissed, because a bunch of punks from Antifa, a bunch of punks from, a disorganized band of anarchists and looters have stolen your cause. They've hijacked your movement. So why wouldn't you point them out? Why wouldn't you condemn them? It is amazing. If you want to see if you're, you know, not really involved in the politics like we are, if you're not a junkie, news junkie, And you always wonder what people mean when they talk about pandering politicians. I present to you Exhibit A, Charlie Baker, the governor of Massachusetts, the worst panderer I've ever seen. He, yesterday, I don't think he cried, but he was probably close to tears, condemning the president for not having compassion. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick review of what Charlie Baker has done. He's shut down the economy, and he has showed no mercy. Shut everyone down, store owners, gyms, restaurants, just shut them down. Put many of them out of business. He's put over a million people into unemployment in Massachusetts, and he stands up and talks about compassion. Compassion? You know who we should, you know who should have compassion for? The hundreds of businesses in Boston who've been looted, windows broken, and they can't even open. You know, so they're forced to close, and they know they face serious consequences if they dare open up. And what does he do about the people smashing the windows? Nothing, nothing. You know, he stands back and says, I understand their rage. His quote was, I understand why they want to go out to the street to make a point. So essentially, this compassionate governor is endorsing this looting and violence against the good people, the entrepreneurs, the store owners who aren't allowed to make a living. So they go 3 months shut down. Many of them gone broke. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't give a damn about any of them. He right. wants to, right. you know, he wants to pander to, you know, who the Boston Globe and the far left. He think that's going to win him points, keep his approval rating up there. He doesn't care about the store owners. That, to me, that's the definition of lacking compassion. You heard from, I don't know if we have any sound from that store owner from was it Downtown Crossing or Newbury Street? Patel?
Oh, the City Smoke Shop? Yeah, you want to play this?
I mean, this is amazing. This is a guy whose whole life is into his business. It's destroyed. Does the governor give him a call? Do they go see him? They don't care about him. I mean, it's incredible. He's complaining about the lack of compassion in the White House when right under his nose, people are going broke. Mm-hmm. And now their lives, their businesses are being destroyed. And what are we doing? Saying Marty Walsh, the mayor of Boston, is thanking all the protesters. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for coming to our city. I don't know, Marty. It seems to me they're kind of a problem for you.
Well, remember, that was his first appearance after the city was torched, was yesterday. And the first thing he did is say, before we address what happened last night, I want to go over the quarantine and the new openings and how we're going to enter the next phase. Yeah. So before the thugs were castigated, you were castigated. You know, law-abiding people, before we talk about that, I want to talk to you first. We're gonna do this in stages. We're going to enter phase two like this, A, B, C, D. We'll talk about whether or not you can do this. So is essentially, and talk about not having a tin ear. So essentially he said to the people who have burned out stores, the good news is that you can open those burned out stores in 4 days. So, I mean, and then to take the shot at Trump, whatever you want to say, sure, Trump's an a-hole, okay? He doesn't do crying soft thing. That's not him, okay? But this is not a Trump situation. This has nothing to do right. with you saw what happened when he did show his face yesterday, finally, okay? I mean, the world just jumped on him as being a militaristic, out of touch. He cleared the streets, SOB. But this with Baker pulling that crap yesterday, Baker should have said, first of all, he said phase two, we're going to expedite everything at this point. We all know that that this is a joke at this point. Everybody right.
lockout ended, the lockout ended right. Sunday night when with these protests, they did one thing for us. They ended the lockout. The lockout's a joke. Baker is a joke. Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, we got Eva Braun out there in Michigan. She said it's over, shutdown's over. So we're going to be last as usual. The official edict hasn't come down from above. Charlie wants to check with Linda Pizzuti, make sure it's okay with her before he opens up the state. But I do want to hear from the store owner because, hell, governor, mayor, they don't care what this guy's got to say, but we do. What's his name? Dave Patel?
Neil Patel. Yeah.
Wones, tell me again, the smoke shop.
They have robbed us after us being closed for 3 months. This is not anything you should be doing. This is not right. What are you trying to protect the cause? This is an excuse, nothing else. You're making an excuse. We got robbed. We're a small business. We can't even pay rent.
That was him right there.
It was passion. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. This isn't about George Floyd. I'm sorry to all the politicians who are pandering. And every time they come out, they say, we want to, you know, thank the protesters. We understand their rage. We're past that. We're past that a long time ago. The people robbing, looting, burning don't give a shit about George Floyd. Can we just get past that now? Everybody has condemned what the police did. Everybody has seen George Floyd, heard from his brother that this wasn't a guy who would support this. His family doesn't support this. The problem we have, we can get back to, if you want to talk about police brutality or race relations another day. Right now, we're trying to restore order. We're trying to stop this nationwide crime wave. I mean, literally, the number is like we're up to like 5,000 arrests around the country, and it's just begun. As I tweeted last night, a guy, a very well-connected guy, texted me and said, it's going to explode tonight, Tuesday night. They're coming out in full force, and if you're seeing around the country, it's happening in every city, big and small. Hell, the woman you referred to, Tom, who got beaten with the 2x4, that's in Rochester, New York. If you haven't seen the video, and I don't know how you could not, it's the most disturbing thing you will ever see. We don't know how old she is, right? She's in her 60s. She's trying to protect the store, and they beat her with a 2x4 or a couple of 2x4s while making her husband watch. You know, it's like out of a friggin', it's like out of The Purge or some, you know, movie. It's just so brutal. I don't know that they've been arrested yet, but when they do, Steve Carell and Chrissy Teigen will be there to bail them out. We know that. That's the worst, but that's a couple days ago. Since then, there's been 100 more cases. If you haven't started watching the news today, a cop in New York gets run down. It's all on video by a car, and you can see it. I believe he's in critical condition. He's not dead yet. Let's see. Cops shot Philadelphia. Oh, this is a good one. The good news in Philadelphia, a gun store owner, waited in, imagine looting a gun store. I mean, do you think that maybe somebody in there might have a problem with it? Looters broke into a gun store and the gun owner unloaded on them, killing one, wounding another. That's going to happen more and more. Another cop was hit by a car in, Buffalo, New York. Cops were shot in a couple of different cities, just shot by, you know, by snipers and waiting.
Right. One was killed in Oakland, right? A couple of...
That was a few days ago. That's old news. I mean, nobody cares. His name was Patrick Underwood. I haven't seen one celebrity tweeting about Patrick Underwood. You know what? I don't know if they're aware of this. He was an African-American. He was a hardworking federal agent assassinated in Oakland. Not a word. I haven't seen anything hashtag, you know, pray for Patrick or, you know, justice for Patrick. Not a word.
Right.
Nobody cares.
You know, I was watching you and Aiden watch it Sunday as this was happening. These looters, these, you know, punks are not, it's not rage that's happening. They're laughing. They're having a great time. This is the best thing for a lot of these folks that has ever happened. And it's, you know, whether it's the Antifa folks or just whatever punks they are. But the problem is that we've seen, especially yesterday, that the police now have been told to bow to these people, and they're taking a knee, and they're standing down, and they're backing off. So now these store owners like Patel, who you just played, they're on their own. And that's where we're going to have a problem. Because if they're on their own, the back is against the wall, they're going to start defending themselves. And then, of course, the media is going to go all in. The media, the Boston media is the most disgusting of all, who's been NBC 10, who's been pretending, trying to pan away from the violence when it happens, now will pay special attention when somebody like Patel defends himself. And then we're going to have a bigger problem culturally when they start taking sides and propagandizing even more. It's going to incite people and infuriate people. And it should. They've got nobody. You don't have the governor on your side. You don't have the police now are being tempered. So who the hell, who's on your side now?
Imagine being that guy. And there's a list of the stores, alphabetical list here on Boston.com, stores and businesses that were looted. I mean, there's hundreds of them. And you know, some just had a window broken. Others were looted, wiped out.
How about the hot shop that was looted just because the looters knew that the police would be somewhere else? So they went and looted that pot shop. What was that, in the Seaport, and stole $100,000 worth of weed? Did you see this?
And well, I know, I'm sure it's on the list. I get the list in front of me, but it is amazing. You hear more outrage from the governor because the president can criticize the governors for their response than you do from the fact that hundreds of businesses, including, you know, taxpayers, all of them paying taxpayers, people following the rules, trying to make a living, and they get trashed by these punks who aren't from elsewhere. We got all, you know, we got the arrests. Most of them are from Boston or from the surrounding community, two from Maine and the rest from Massachusetts. They were local people trashing local businesses. And what does the governor do? Talks about the president lacking compassion.
On a final note, I heard what the president said today about dominating and fighting. I know I should be surprised when I hear incendiary words like this from him, but I'm not. At so many times during these past several weeks, when the country needed compassion and leadership the most, it was simply nowhere to be found. Instead, we got bitterness, combativeness, and self-interest. That's not what we need in Boston. It's not what we need right now in Massachusetts, and it's definitely not what we need across this great country of ours either.
What is the attorney general, the head law enforcement person in the state? She says the president better not send in troops. Well, what do you think, Mr. Patel at the smoke shop? What do you think the guy at the, let me see, Giorgione, Hingham Institute for Savings on Tremont Street, Laura Pershing Fine Jewelry, Lord & Taylor, Marshall's Men's Warehouse.
According to NBC 10, Jerry, that's Tremont Street, right across the street from Park Avenue. It's best thing about watching that coverage was that you had one reporter right in front of the State House saying, we found everything to be completely calm and peaceful, and this has been a peaceful day. The guy around the corner on Tremont Street was saying, things are getting hairy here. Bricks are being thrown at the police, and frozen waters are being thrown at the police here, and we're having some sparks happening between police and then they panned back. They send it back to the woman in front of the State House, and she said, that's not what I'm seeing here. It's a very different story. And they're fighting almost on air about what's happening because they're trying to be dutiful to the city desk or whoever, the assignment desk, who said, remember, this is a peaceful day. This is a peaceful day. It was a peaceful day until it became a chaotic, historically chaotic day.
That's, I know it's a cliche. That's like being at the airport and saying, you know, most of the planes have landed safely. They don't forget that one crash over there with, you know, 73 dead. Most planes are liquid. Look, a plane just landed safely. You're supposed to follow the law. You're supposed to be peaceful. The idea that that's somehow the story, you're a news person and you think it's the story that there was a peaceful demonstration. That's not news. News is what happens after dark, after the peaceful protest is over. That's what you should be covering. It is the most disturbing thing. And I guess we know which side the media is on. Much of the media, I know we have some sound from MSNBC and from CNN. The woman on CNN just kept talking about she understands the rage. She understands. What are you talking about, woman? I mean, you understand the rage of someone going in and stealing a bunch of sneakers? I mean, that's not rage. That's theft. Globe Bar and Cafe on Boylston Street was window broken. Now, I saw that quickly and said, oh, please tell me it's the Globe, because then your coverage would change. If the Globe got looted, then you'd see a whole different coverage from the school paper at Pazuti High. Things would be different then. But
you're right. Here's an example of that, Jerry. Two nights ago in Chicago, CNN had a reporter in the streets on Michigan Avenue, and Don Lemon was talking back and forth with him.
Right.
A huge red wine bottle flies, you know, from out of the crowd, lands near the reporter. And Don Lemon said, oh, my God, what's happened? And the reporter says, don't worry. They weren't throwing it at us, Don. They were throwing it at the police. Don't worry. They weren't throwing it at us. They were throwing it at the police. as if that's the news. The news is they're throwing at the police.
my favorite quote. Same night, it was I believe it was a CNN person who reported, and I saw it. The report said they threw a bottle at him, and he said, "But they didn't do it in a mean way."
They haven't been destroying anything. They like to take it out of the media, as everybody does, but rather than, you know, yell at us and throw stuff at us, not in a mean way.
Yeah.
I tweeted about that one. I saw it. I don't know if you can find it, Dave, but he literally says, yeah, they threw a bottle, but didn't do it in a mean way. So, I mean, maybe the guy ran down the cop in Buffalo, or the people who shot four cops in St. Louis, four cops shot in St. Louis. Are we sure he did it in a mean way? Because we might want to check. Maybe he did it in a loving way. It is the they want to conflate these two things so much that, oh, look, most people are peaceful. Mm-hmm. If you're a news director, just please promise me you'll tell your reporters to distinguish between the two things. One of them is a peaceful protest. We've seen plenty of them. They're not really newsworthy. The ones where they're, I don't know, shooting cops, running down cops, robbing, looting, that's newsworthy because people are in fear. Their country is in chaos, and they're not sure what side the media is on here. You know, it's incredible the number of media people who want to somehow think there's something redeeming, tell you there's something redeeming about Antifa. You know, oh, they're against fascism. You know, isn't that good thing? That's what Don Lemon will say. You know, these guys went, they fought the Nazis at Charlottesville. You know, like that means anything to a store owner or even a person who lives in the neighborhood. They're sitting inside looking out the crack, their window saying, am I next? You know, is our neighborhood next? There was a tweet, I believe it was a tweet from one of these Antifa thugs saying they're coming to the suburbs next. We don't know what's going to happen tonight in Boston. It's not going to be pretty. And I'm sure, you'll hear the same pandering from the mayor and the attorney general about how, you know, they respect and they thank and they love all the peaceful protests. But the things that are going to after dark, the things that are going to happen after dark are going to be really disturbing and unnerving for people who live and work in the city. And they're getting no help, no support from their elected officials because they're so afraid to go against, I don't know, against Black Lives Matter, against the cause. They somehow they conflate the two, and they don't want to criticize anybody for out of fear.
Right. In Washington D.C., these guys were pulling up all organized miles away from the epicenter, miles away from where the actual protests were. They were pulling up and staging stuff and staging Molotov cocktails and bricks and this and that. So it was organized, and that Boston media would even call people marching in the Back Bay when there was no protests in the Back Bay. A protest is disgusting. There was no protest in the Back Bay. There were only attacks. You know, there were only looters and rioters and violent people in the Back Bay.
And you just have no compassion, Shattuck. No compassion. I mean, don't you have a heart? What about George Floyd?
You just mentioned Jerry suburbs last night. There, did you see that they were trying to go after the Natick Mall here where we are? They were trying to go after the South Shore Plaza, and you could even just tell. I mean, I was searching it on Twitter last night. There was fear out there of what was going on in people's neighborhoods, you know. And he's sure. Right. Do you guys see? I think you shared it with us yesterday, Shaq. Did you see the sheriff in Tampa yesterday? That was
yes. And I want to play the Polk County sheriff because that's how it is in, you know, I don't know if Florida's a red state, a purple state, I guess, but that's how it is in much of flyover country, you know, down south. And we heard from the guy from Alabama yesterday. I think that's the next shoe to fall. Is there going to be some vigilante justice in some of these places? And the sheriffs are encouraging it. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Flagship Wealth. We're living in crazy economic times, job changes, job losses. You may have a 401k out there that's not being actively managed. Well, Flagship Wealth has a free report called Managing Your Money in Retirement. Dave, give our listeners some idea about what's inside the guide.
Jerry, in these crazy economic times, it's important to take control of your retirement. Now, is this booklet the end-all, be-all for retirement planning? The answer is no, but it's a start. And I think one of the major pieces in this piece, if you will, is concerning your inventory. And a number of your listeners out there right now have left their 401ks, their 403bs at former employers and have no idea how they're invested, if they're in cash, if they're ultra aggressive, who the beneficiaries are. More importantly, can they get access to it that they could within an IRA account? So again, the bottom line is they get their hands on the book, take control of your retirement now. Now is not the market to let things go unguided.
Get the free report by going to flagshipwealth.com/retirement or click the link in our show notes. That's flagshipwealth.com/retirement to learn more and get a copy of the free guide, Managing Your Money in Retirement. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. We got lots of people on Facebook and on Twitter who are commenting and sharing our frustration, but we'll take calls too. But think of what you're dealing with. You're dealing with elected officials like the Attorney General here. Hell, the Attorney General in Minnesota, who is an unapologetic supporter of Antifa. So the band of marauders who are destroying his city, and we're one, and the top law enforcement official supports them. That's peak madness, in my opinion. Keith Ellison in Minnesota is why people are afraid. They feel like there's, you know, the barbarians are inside the gate. Our Attorney General in Massachusetts is upset because Trump might send in troops, might send in the National Guard. Now, if you're a Mr. Patel who owns a business, or if you have a home and these scumbags are outside your home with bricks, are you saying, gee, I hope he doesn't send in the troops? You're saying, why can't our elected officials, why can't our law enforcement handle this? And we're going to get to the Boston Police Commissioner, because I think he, like lots of law enforcement officers, are very frustrated at the politics of their superiors. I mean, they've reached the point where they're saying, are we trying to stop the madness, or are we still pandering and placating?
Now, Terry, you mentioned something very important. You mentioned Keith Ellison. You know, obviously an Antifa fan. He has sung their praises before. Antifa is organized. They are throughout the country. They're in 50 states. They're in municipalities. They work with each other. They've got a system. They've got lawyers. They've got medical tents. They've got all sorts of stuff.
They got bail money.
Yes. And Keith Ellison was the deputy chair of the Democratic National Committee, which means these people have a lifeline in established politics in the Democratic Party. Now, the loser white supremacists, skinhead idiots, which there are about 37, they have no connection to politics. They have no relevancy. They have no power and influence. Antifa directly does. And that's not a good thing. They have influence in our politics. And don't think that that's one of the reasons that they've gotten positive treatment in the media and from politicians. And the media, in the Boston media, who are the biggest bunch of frigging idiots I have ever seen in my life. We have reporters at the Lowell Sun.
Name names, Shattuck.
I don't know them. I don't know these idiots. Everybody on NBC 10 is a freaking idiot, okay, except maybe the weatherman. But the problem is that this is the third time in 4 years we've seen these guys beat the crap out of people and destroy things in Boston. They did it at the free speech rally or Nazi rally 3 years ago in Boston Common. They did it at the straight pride parade thing, last year, and now this year. But every time it happens, the Boston media says, wow, Antifa, it stands for anti-fascist.
Yeah, anti-fascist.
A fringe group that doesn't represent. They've been here for three. Every year they do unspeakable things, and every year you're just learning about them again. It is crazy. They're either morons in our local news TV stations, they're on the payroll.
They're just idiots. They're more. You're right. I mean, I tweeted. I know you mentioned one of these reporters was talking about peaceful protesters. Things are burning behind them, and I don't know who it is. Some nobody at local news station, and he says the vast, vast, vast majority of the protesters are peaceful. It was like 11 o'clock at night. All the peaceful people had gone home. You could literally see the glass. There was a burning cruiser. Glass was breaking. They were throwing stuff. You could see it all. And this guy says, vast, vast, vast majority are peaceful. Three vasts. And you're saying, hey, moron,
Yes.
You know, you have video, right? We know we can see what's happening behind you. When there is a burning cruiser behind you in the shot, you don't, you're not going to convince me, Jerry, that the vast majority are Jerry, peaceful.
November 22nd, 1963, the vast majority of people in the crowd in Dallas were very friendly and well-behaved.
That's so true. And I don't know what it's going to take for us all to condemn this violence. Maybe it'll never happen again. You have an attorney general in Minnesota who supports the group outwardly. His son supports the group, another elected official, the attorney general. In New York City, you have the mayor, that absolute buffoon de Blasio, whose daughter got arrested for protesting, right? Again, why do you get arrested for protesting? You get arrested for breaking the law. Protesting is not only legal, it's protected by the Constitution. If you're getting arrested, I think you're doing something illegal. That's not a peaceful protest. His daughter got arrested, and boy, she looked like a winner. Have you seen her? She's got
her
head shaved on the side with a big ball of hair on the top, a real good. And her, what is her father? The mayor of New York City. What does he say? He's proud of her. He's proud of her. If you're a cop in New York City, you're saying, wait, this woman just broke the law in the middle of this chaos. We arrested her, and the mayor says he's proud of her. Well, why doesn't she go out and get arrested every day then? Dad's proud of her. That's how nutty it is gotten. The mayor of Boston is thanking people for coming to his city and destroying it. The mayor of New York is proud of his daughter, who's arrested in the midst of all this crime spree, this crime wave.
But I brought this up earlier in the show, right? We all, and we follow a lot of the same people. A lot of people saying, Marty Walsh, how do you even allow these protests to happen? You're asking for it if you even allow it.
Yes.
If he doesn't allow it, they still come out at night. And I would assume they come out at night in force. Don't you? Even worse than what
there's no difference. Right.
And they won't be intermingled. At least you'd have probably make the job easier. I know that 3 years ago when the free speech people, including Gavin McInnes and these alt-right people, wanted to have a protest in Boston Common, they cordoned them off. You know, they put them near the Parkman Bandstand. They cordoned them off. You know, but that's treatment reserved for people on the right. You know, these now have a track record, I'm sorry, of being violent, burning stuff. There's no cordoning off. You know,
as our friend John Featherston explained, you have to apply for a permit. You have to pay for the permit. You have to make a request. You have to tell them what it's all about, what time you're going to do it, how many people are going to. Do you think these people did any of that? Any of that? Of course not. Of course they don't. And the mayor does what? Throws out his arms and welcomes them. Thank you for coming. Thank you for throwing a brick. I mean, you should say, this is an illegal protest. You're all breaking the law. We're going to arrest you all, which I think what the police commissioner would like to do. I don't know. Do anybody calling our new phone line, Dave? 814-33-JERRY. Anybody call?
No one's queued up now. So just, yeah, if we tease it out there, we'll call. I'll put it on Twitter as well.
You have to get a permit to get a pallet of bricks dropped off in the middle of the street.
So straight. You brought up the police commissioner. I don't know if you guys saw, we were texting about it yesterday, is he put a status up on Facebook, and I'm not friends with him on Facebook. So I don't know if this is definitely the police commissioner, but it appears to be the police commissioner. And his post yesterday, Jerry, you saw it, was basically saying, I'll read it to you. Unfortunately, two politicians and an organization that I believe really doesn't care for police didn't want us to wear protective headgear because it would be too intimidating to the protesters. Even after I explained that Antifa would infiltrate the peaceful protest and attack us, they did not appear to care because our protective equipment would be too intimidating. He went on for another spiel. I don't. For sure, know that's him, but it appears to be him.
Well, we think that's him. I literally tweeted out, I said, I'm not a Facebook guy. Help me out. Is this real? And many, many people get back at me and said it's real. That is the police commissioner saying that somebody above him on the food chain, I don't know, attorney general, who's obviously just, we're like Minneapolis, they're all radicals, the attorney general, the mayor, the governor, and if I hear one more network anchor say our Republican governor. He's not a, there's nothing Republican about him. He's as lefty, left wing as the mayor and the attorney general and the rest of them. He's abandoned the R a long time ago. I don't think he, I think he's okay with that. But this is the police commissioner, Willie Gross, very popular guy. He's great in front of the cameras. He's great when he shows up at the crime scenes and they put mics in his face. He's so much better than the mayor, the governor, or any of them. I hope he's mayor someday and someday soon. But I don't know, Shattuck, you're in the news business. You work in a newspaper. Has this, have you seen this? I just checked all the top stories at the Globe and Boston.com. I'll check the Herald. But this is the police commissioner saying he's been ordered not to wear protective headgear. Ordered to not wear protective headgear.
Because it's chilling, but he has been spouting off recently. He's had enough of this crap. You heard him the other day, even before this really got into full swing, complain about publicly with Walsh right up there, complain about the fact that prisoners are being let go. And he said liberal politicians are essentially pouring dangerous actors onto the streets. And what recourse do the cops have? Because, of course, the district attorney for Boston has made all of these misdemeanors, essentially taken them off the board. So violent activity is something that now is being almost sanctioned locally. And so this guy, he is a cop's cop. William Gross is awesome. And he has been trying to advocate for the cops, saying we're defenseless here. Give us something. This is a guy who a few years ago, when we also had, when there was a police shooting of a black man by police, was right there in the crowd, right there engaging with the community as they were calling him all sorts of horrible things. But he's a tough guy. He's an alpha. He's a cop's cop. He's just asking for common sense. I think he probably can see as well that until you put this thing to bed, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. People, nothing else is open. People have been cloistered away.
Maybe Colin can answer this for me. Is that gone? That page gone? Because I'm looking at it now and a Facebook thing pops up. It says that page has been removed.
I don't think
a screenshot?
You have to be friends with him. I have a screenshot of his post. You have to be friends with him to see all of his content. And
we've called to try to get Commissioner Gross on.
Yep.
I was disappointed Sunday night, as I said at our live broadcast covering the riots. I was disappointed the cops were backing up. There were 53 arrests. I thought there could have been hundreds of arrests. I don't understand why they let the cop car burn. Why can't they bring in the fire engine and put it out? That's exactly what these Antifa thugs want, that visual. They got it. It was a bad look. It's a bad look across the country. I think you have this conflict in lots of places, Shattuck, as you have police commissioners who want to do their jobs, certainly have cops who want to do their jobs, and you have politicians like, you know, Keith Ellison in Minnesota or de Blasio in New York, or who are demanding, you know, you stand down because they're afraid of that visual. They're afraid of, the fire hoses or the dogs. They don't want that. They don't want these pictures of some kid, you know, some little scrawny kid with a BLM sign or, you know, Black Lives Matter sign getting having that photograph of him being dragged away. But there, I mean, again, you just have to say these people, the criminals are using that. They're using you. You're using your misguided compassion or empathy for the cause. The cause is long since, I mean, George Floyd, that was over. That's over. That's over, right, man. Everybody expressed their outrage, their sympathy, their concern. We've moved on. Now our country is under siege, and Trump is calling out the governors for not using troops.
I mean, as much as I love to give him crap in the Washington Post, Meg McArdle is a columnist there, and she was writing about the fact that there are areas in Washington, D.C. that never recovered from riots in the late 60s, right, that just in the last few years have gotten back on their feet, and those places have now been looted and destroyed, some of those places. You hear about the same thing in New Jersey?
Same thing in Baltimore, Tom. I mean, they didn't recover.
Right, and we got to think Minnesota. Who's going to move their business into an area where the police station was overrun and burned to the ground?
No kidding.
Who's going to do that? Who's going to move their business to any area where the police are told to stand down if the crowd wants to destroy your business? because the politicians are afraid to act because it might make for a bad photo op, which is the word of the day because President Trump invented photo op last night.
Has there ever been a worse photo op than the cops running from a police station as it burns? I mean, and you know that's not the cops. It's a bad look. I feel bad for the cops, but you know that's not their call, certainly not the guys on the ground. So they're told, give up your post, surrender the station, and then they torch it. And right. And I mean, I was tweeting about that, and I can't believe how many people say, you know, what are you supposed to do? You know, you're supposed to like shoot them? Yes, you are. I mean, you're supposed to fight back and defend if you can't defend your precinct, your building, which by the way is full of stuff, you know, computers and stuff to, you know, police records and everything. Right. Yes, you're supposed to protect that. Of course. I mean, the idea that that's, you know, just part of the protest, or part of the process is insane. Just like it is. Another thing I tweeted about and people were all upset was these cops taking a knee. I mean, it was pathetic. The leaders of the protesters said, if you guys take a knee before us, you know, we'll go home. And they all the cops kneeled down. I mean, talk about bad optics.
They kneeled down. But if you listen to any of the national coverage, you'll hear the reporters saying, just an hour ago, the police were kneeling alongside the protesters. Now they're in riot gear, engaging them and pushing into the protesters. So you're not going to win the war of propaganda by kneeling down, by giving in. The media already has its story written, and in it, the police are bad. It doesn't matter. So don't kowtow anymore and do this stuff. The thing is, Trump is bad. Trump militarized the police, and he's beating up on minorities in the, you know, less privileged in this country. White supremacists, Trump. Biden, good. That's the general narrative.
I'm looking at it now. It's in Dallas. It's unbelievable. They say, if you take a knee, you know, we'll go home. And the cops all kneel down. I mean, I guess they're doing what they're told, whether it's by the protesters or by their bosses. They're doing what they're told. I'm just amazed at that Facebook post from the police commissioner has had no traction. None that I've seen. And maybe Turtle Boy's the last reporter in New England. No offense to you, Shattuck. I know you're a newspaper man, but where the hell are the news reporters? Turtle Boy is literally identifying some of the looters. That's pretty interesting. Where they live, who they are, who they're related to. I mean, one of the protesters knows, his mother knows the mayor and the police commissioner. That's pretty newsworthy. He was arrested. It's public record. Why is that not in, you know, the Boston Herald, the Boston Globe? I don't know. The police commissioner is Facebook posting about how his officers can't wear protective headgear in certain situations because of the visual. That's insane. What if a cop gets shot in the head tonight? It happened in St. Louis last night. And in Boston tonight, there's going to be violence. What if these cops get shot? What if they get killed? What is Commissioner Gross going to say then? What is Ayanna Pressley and Liz Warren and that buffoon Ed Markey? What are they going to say then? What is that state rep from Cambridge, Michael Connolly, that cartoon character we talked about? What's he going to say then? Where's Seth Moulton, you know, war hero Seth Moulton, going to say then? Going to say, oh, good, I'm glad they didn't have all the protective gear they wanted. That was a bad look.
Isn't it funny to have somebody like Liz Warren and Ayanna Pressley even commenting on this? Liz Warren, who said literally that the criminal justice system is racist from front to back.
Yeah.
You know, you say that enough, then people believe you. And then they see the cops as enemies, and they see the cops as stormtroopers, and they say, yeah, I'm going to visit violence upon this guy because he's oppressing me. And my elected leader's telling me to, so tell me so, and the media tells me so it must be true. I mean, Jesus.
Ayanna Pressley is raising money for the bail money, the groups in Minnesota. She's one of the people who's raising money with Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, the real radicals. That's who's representing Boston. The people, the stores are being looted. You know, your rep is raising money to help bail out the people who are looting your stores. We've gone insane. We've gone insane. There is no, I mean, hell, Commissioner Gross will not probably stand by that Facebook post. If he's asked about it, if he's asked about it, probably won't be. He won't. He'll say, I take it back. The Salem, Massachusetts Police Department sent out a tweet criticizing their elected officials, Baker and the Mayor Walsh. They had to delete the tweet and apologize. So you're not allowed to speak the truth. I mean, you can't tell the truth about these pandering pukes who are allowing this to happen. It is just so, so maddening. But,
the thing is that Boston does so much work for community outreach too, into communities. Gross knows, even before him, Ed Davis, and I forgot the last guy, the skeleton-looking guy, last guy.
Evans.
Yes, Evans. They have been so, and when I worked for the Herald, we would all join these big conference tables full of cops and the relatives of crime victims and, talk about stop snitching stuff that was going on, et cetera. And it was heartbreaking conversations. Boston police have been really, really good about engagement and trying to work with the community. And to have it just because of some cowardly politicians, to have it just all go away like this is just, I mean, Gross must feel betrayed. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, sure. Cops are feeling betrayed. How about again, New York City? If you missed it last night, there's video of a cop taking a beating and he's got some guys beating him up and another guy comes over with like a board and just pounds him in the head. The guy gets up and kind of staggers away. But at some point, these cops are going to just pull out their guns and shoot. I mean, you're getting beaten by a group. And if you think I may end up being, tried by a jury of 12, it'd be better than carried by, six into my grave. They're going to say, I got to do this to stay alive. I mean, they're shooting cops again in St. Louis. They're running them over in cars in Buffalo. Here's what the politicians would like. Police chief, see if you can get this for me, Dave. The police chief in Raleigh, North Carolina, came out and said, I saw her. She was given a press conference, and she said, I will not put my officers in harm's way to protect a building or to protect someone's property.
Systemic racism. There were several incidents, including an incident that happened in a park in New York. That was nothing but systemic racism. So when we look in the mirror and we talk about racism, it's not just the law enforcement side of it. It's embodied in the greater community, and we all have to own that as well.
This was a police chief. Now, I'm sorry that things have gotten a little out of hand, but I'm pretty sure that's your job. I'm pretty sure cops have signed up to protect people's property, to protect buildings, as she said. So if somebody is looting or burning a building, she says her officers aren't going to get in the way because they might, get hurt. That's like saying a soldier is not going to, protect the country or protect, that's your job. You're going to protect people and property. If someone's building is being looted and they call the cops, is she going to tell them, nah, we're not showing up today? It's dangerous.
On Twitter, Boston Radio Watch I tweeted a few hours ago, the real estate market in Back Bay and South End will be comparable to any town in Worcester County pretty soon. Well, he's right. I mean, already, even 6 months ago, what were the good things to do? Why would somebody outside of Boston drive into Boston? You can't park. Stuff is expensive. Right. The roads are terrible. The traffic is terrible. It was already a pain. But now, why would you? Now, you got the jewel of the town, which is Newbury Street, had just been beat to crap for no good reason. Nobody's.
It's just begun. I'll read you the text I got last night about what's going to happen tonight, and it's gonna get worse. It's gonna get worse. I mean, they're smelling blood. If you're one of these Antifa punks, and we've seen, I know they don't have a formal structure, as they keep saying, that they're just a bunch of ragtag anarchists, but they're smelling blood. They know the cops' hands are tied. They know all the cameras are on. If you're an anarchist, if you're an Antifa punk, this is your Super Bowl Sunday, man. You are riding high. You feel like you're winning across the – I mean, this is like one of those movies where you see it spread across the country and you're saying, holy crap, everywhere. These people are everywhere. It's very intimidating. How about forget being a customer? What if you're a store owner, restaurant owner? Why would you ever want to invest more, open a restaurant in a city like this when you know your elected officials are lined up against you, when they won't even protect you from Antifa, from anarchists who are smashing your windows? They just say, oh, you know, and here's what else I'm tired of. All this stuff on Twitter and on the news, you're seeing, oh, look, it isn't amazing. The people showed up to clean up. Isn't it? All the neighbors showed up to clean up. I'm
it's
sorry.
A happy story, Jerry.
What? I mean, your neighborhood gets trashed. It was supposed to be happy that people showed up and swept up the glass.
Well, you know what also
disgusting.
So, you know, the Baker's on every day. Yesterday he came on, he yelled at small businesses for 20 minutes and then talked about the riots and then yelled at Trump. You'd figure that maybe today, in between yelling at Trump and yelling at small businesses in Massachusetts, maybe you'd want to implore people to keep their kids inside tonight. You know, maybe you'd want to tell people, why don't you stay in tonight? We've all shown that we condemn the killing of this guy, George Floyd, in Minnesota. Maybe everybody just stays in tonight because we get the feeling that something bad is going to happen. But no, why would he ever do that? Because to do that would be to push against this warm cultural tide of what is really global virtue signaling at this point. You know, parents in Cambridge will let their kids out, and kids in Wellesley will go out all dressed in black, carrying bricks, and their parents.
And then, you know, Marty Walsh or Charlie Baker, whoever, will say they're from out of town. You know, they're just invaders from elsewhere. And then we'll get the police report, and they will be lying again. They will be local people who are looking for free stuff. That's what it's same in New York, same everywhere. Sure, there are some out of towners, but again, there were 53 arrests. I believe 51 were local. And the other two were from Maine. What the hell is someone from Maine going down to loot a Louis Vuitton store or whatever, a Nike store? By the way, we're getting reports from some of our people here on Facebook Live. The plan was to raid the malls. Last night, the cops found out about it, protected the malls. They're coming. They're coming after the malls next. And Michael Graham wants to know if you're posting the Commissioner Gross Facebook post, because I retweeted it and I think it may have been removed. I'm not sure. Do you have a screenshot? Because that's
sure. It's tough to see from that thing, but you can see it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, but we can tweet that out.
I'll tweet that out. And that's a lot of people sent it to us too. So it looks like him. It feels like him. But we haven't actually confirmed it because we're not friends with him on Facebook.
Does Turtle Boy have it? Because, again, the best reporter in New England should really be writing about that. And he's also frustrated because all the DAs now, they don't believe in bail. They don't believe in crime. They don't believe in punishment. They're okay. Rachel Rollins in Boston. We know the stories across the country in New York and Philadelphia. You got these Soros backed DAs who don't do bail. So most of these people looting, trashing, lighting fires are just walking free, and they'll do it again tonight. The ones from Sunday night will be back tonight, and we'll tell you, at least from our sources, what they have planned for tonight. But first, let me tell you about Shea Concrete. Shea Concrete's a great company. They don't provide all those bricks. No, that's someone else. That's some other company that's giving those bricks to all the Antifa thugs to trash our city, our state. Shea Concrete's a fourth generation owned and operated business. They work hard every day, day in and day out, to be your trusted precast concrete partner. They're local, like I said, but they're all over New England. They got four state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities. Stop in and check them out. They got a big one up in Shattuck's neck of the woods in Amesbury, and they're cranking out the precast right now. I can promise you, they never shut down. They never slowed down. If you're a contractor, let me tell you, some of the products Shea can deliver to your job site ready for installation. Underground stormwater systems, they're really good at those. Barriers and bullards, stairs and bulkheads, electrical and communication products. The list goes on and on. These guys can do it all, and they can do it all now. You got a big spring project you're working on, call them, visit them, get online. If you're an engineer, Shea can help you design your next product. They have a whole bunch of really smart guys who can work with you to plan your next project. Give them a call for more information or for an estimate, or just log on to SheaConcrete.com. Shea, and ask for a hat. nice hats, great hats. Maybe someday soon we'll be selling these hats. It's another one of Cullinane's projects.
Sure. By the way, I don't know if Turtle Boy, I haven't seen it on the blog. I don't know if he has the commissioner's Facebook post. He does, however, have the Salem police tweet that I sent him yesterday afternoon.
Oh, good. I just read it. Why don't you read it for us? Yeah,
before it was deleted. So this is at Marty Walsh. This is from the Salem Police Department's Twitter.
And Marty Walsh is the mayor of Boston, if you're unaware. The Salem's, everyone knows Salem. It's north of the city. It's, you know, witch trials and all that. But they're fed up as well. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes. So this is whoever runs that account, and they're looking into it. But at Marty Walsh, so you issued a permit for tens of thousands of people to protest, but I can't go to a restaurant. You are ridiculous. You and Too Tall Duvall are killing this state. That is courtesy of this at Salem MA Police, Salem Police Department.
And it was deleted, and they apologized and all that. But that's the sentiment right there from law enforcement here, and I think in lots of other places. Unless you're like the Raleigh police chief and you've surrendered and said, we're not going to send the cops to get, you know, we don't want the cops to get hurt. Can we play the sheriff in Polk County, Florida?
Sure.
Because this is coming. This is coming. People and are going
to
be.
We have a friend. Every time Shattuck is on, we have a friend who feels the need. He has to join the show. So after we play this, we'll bring him in. Hang on.
Excellent.
And we'll do our best to support the community. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. All of that ugliness has taken away from what we're united about. We're united about the conduct that you saw with George, where his life was taken with a knee to the neck. It's horrific, and there's not enough words to explain that. Let's get a focus on that.
There you go.
Hear, hear.
That he's encouraging. That's the sheriff encouraging his taxpayers to blow them back out of the house if they break in. That's how you know you're not in New England anymore.
Exactly.
If you hear that from a sheriff or a police chief, I'm sure the police chiefs up here would like to say that. They just can't. They would have to apologize 1,000 times the next day. So that's probably the way most cops think. But anyway, joining us now is, what does that say? Carolina Gamecocks. Carolina
Go Cox!
Our favorite Gamecock. Michael Graham.
By the way, I've been to Polk County, and he's absolutely right. And I will tell you, in Lexington County, South Carolina, that is the functioning operative philosophy about this. And they had rioting in downtown Columbia, South Carolina, which is amazing because there's only like four blocks of it. How you fit a riot into such a tiny little area was amazing, but they managed.
Makes it easy to burn it all down, I guess.
Yeah, but what was interesting is, so like a lot of places, you have the river divides the county with the urban community from West Columbia, which is where the suburbs start. Then the rioters went right up to the river, turned around, and went back to the city. They knew, don't cross into Lexington County, where the Second Amendment is a daily part of life.
I know you've been writing about this, tweeting about it. Have you had enough of the term peaceful protests? I mean, they're mostly peaceful. They're 99.9% peaceful. The vast, vast, vast majority are peaceful. I mean, can we all just, you know, agree, you know, they're peaceful protests, but that's not what we're talking about. That's not the problem. That's not what happens after the sun goes down.
No, you've covered your analogy about the airport, you know, hey, 9 of the 10 planes landed. Shattuck's analogy about, you know, November 22nd, you know, that's all on point. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. What happened to the COVID curfew? I could have sworn that just 2 weeks ago, there were Democrats posting pictures of anti-lockdown rallies and saying, oh my God, these 37 people who own sandwich shops and restaurants who are trying not to go out of business are going to kill us all with their COVID. Now I see cops tongue-kissing protesters on MSNBC, no gloves, no hands, no mask. In New Hampshire, they've had for 3 days in a row now, 1,000 or more people gathering for protests while it's illegal to go to the beach. If they had taken the protest to the beach, Governor Sununu would have rounded them all up and arrested them. They have this tiny little racetrack, and I have to confess, I hate NASCAR. Everything about it. It's probably because I grew up in South Carolina. And so the people who were beating my ass for, you know, being able to conjugate my own verbs were largely NASCAR fans. But they have these tracks up here that are like little mini seasonal tracks. And I think you you can bring your own car or whatever. So there's some guy up in northern New Hampshire. And two weekends ago, Memorial Day weekend, he opened his track. And there were photos and there were 75 people sitting outside in the sun, 6 feet from each other. And the attorney general of New Hampshire shut them down. He said,
that's one thing, Michael, that we can appreciate. We can thank Antifa for is they've exposed the politicians. They've exposed the whole shutdown as a joke. And yesterday, the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh, was asked about this and why he didn't shut it down, why he allowed this to happen. He says, we believe in free speech. Free speech, what do you call what the priest does or the minister
exactly.
on the altar when he gives a sermon? You shut that down. What about when he does people do their marriage vows? Nope, can't have those.
Right.
What about graduation?
Nope, speech? No graduations.
Can't have those. He has been shutting down speech for 3 months on a daily basis. He decided this week, Sunday night, he was suddenly a great protector of free speech. And nobody called him on it. Nobody said,
I got a better one for you.
You've been stopping people from speaking in public since March. Why is it different now?
So yesterday, during the presser with Governor Sununu at NH Journal, I asked the governor, I said, you actually called the protesters and thanked them for gathering in downtown Manchester, 1,000 of them. You encouraged them. I'm just curious, what other good causes are on your list that you will support gathering in thousands of groups of thousands in the middle of the COVID? It's, you can't compare this to other things. This was a good cause. Oh, okay. So that's a good cause. Apparently, graduating from high school, not a good cause. Running a business, not a good cause. You know, keeping your job open, not a good cause. But Black Lives Matter, good cause. So you get a thumbs up. So here is my message to every restaurant owner in Massachusetts and New Hampshire who wants to open. Get out of the restaurant business. Get in the protest business. Announce you're opening a protest venue. And people can come in and protest by purchasing protest-friendly appetizers, entrees, and drinks. So you've got the Black Lives Matter beer of the day. And every drink, and you have a little image, and it's of a cop. And you know those glasses that have like the naked girl and then the clothes come off?
Yeah, yeah.
So like as the drink goes down, like the cop gets pulled down and then he's being, you know, beaten by a crowd. And then you have like your Antifa appetizers, you know, so you have like the flaming wings. And at the end, you set the plate on fire to protest hate. Your restaurant is not, it's not a restaurant. It's a protest venue and you are wide open and Mayor Marty and Governor Sununu will be right there supporting you. That's my idea.
Call it George Floyd's. They can't shut
exactly.
That.
Well, see, I don't do that. It's because this is where, and Shattuck knows, this is one of the things that the listeners at the old station hated me about. I am not a knee-jerk cop conservative. I'm a small government libertarian. I remind people all the time that the average cop is just a unionized government worker with a gun. And sometimes the postal worker is a competent guy and sometimes he sucks. Same thing with cops. That cop sucked. There are a, you know, small but significant number of cops who suck, and we should just treat them like people who suck and not like magical people because they have a badge. You don't hate them because of a badge. You don't love them because of a badge. You just treat them the way they are. And I want to leave George Floyd out of this because that outrage is now.
We have moved on from George Floyd.
No, I agree with you.
Because the people we're talking about don't give a shit about George Floyd. The people who are burning, looting, the people, the governors, the mayors who are pandering, they don't care about George Floyd. They don't. They want to appear like they're compassionate and concerned, but they don't. And you make a great point when you think about it. That's essentially the answer, that this is a good cause. You know what they don't allow anymore? They don't allow these 5Ks, these races.
Right, exactly.
The marathon.
For cancer.
Which raise lots of money. You know, for many, many good causes. I was signed up for 3 different races. One was for the troops. You know, one was for the Jimmy Fund. One was for some other charity. They shut them all down.
Right.
Those weren't good causes.
Apparently not.
Apparently, you know, Antifa.
And the Boston Marathon. Boston Marathon, not a good cause either.
Boston Marathon, which let
me interrupt because before you dump me and for Shattuck stupidity, I got to share this quote with you. And it's from the New York Times. This is fantastic. And I tweeted it out. My Twitter handle is I am M. Graham. And so they find this guy down at Houston in one of the cross streets, in Greenwich Village, and he's out looting. And he says, "I don't think this is really about George Floyd. I think this is about people who just want to do what they always want to do and can't believe they get away with it." And he declined to give his name. And this is from New York Times. He declined to give his name because he, in fact, was looting, and he works in a day job as a security guard. So this is the looters trying to tell you guys, this ain't about justice and, right, and bad cops or whatever. No, this is about, you got some nice flat panel TVs in there. And I just want to point out that you cannot stand up for social justice without a Louis Vuitton bag. In fact, I'm going to go out and liberate some Prada pumps for peace later today, because my wife looks great.
Don't go to Saks Fifth Avenue, because that has been cleaned out.
I know. They beat me to it.
Don't go anywhere. By the way, just speaking of New Hampshire, a friend of mine whose daughter works at Hampton Beach as a bartender, he sent
me worked at Hampton Beach.
Well, yeah. They were just open a couple days ago. This bar outside, but they've now had to move all the furniture inside.
Yep.
Yesterday, he told all the businesses to close, to board up their stores because there was a protest.
That's right.
Police built a observation tower and command center in the middle, and everything that was just about to open. Yesterday was going to be the first day for a lot of these businesses. Bang, closed down, shut down again. I mean, talk about rolling out the red carpet, man. This is incredible. And the fact that Charlie Baker yesterday, the first thing he did was castigate businesses.
Of course.
Before
saying, that is remarkable.
Christ, I can't believe the city was on fire. I'm sorry.
That's right. We
worked together to make that wasn't the priority. I mean, these people are zombified at this point.
And they destroyed the life's work of a number of these people. We played Mr. Patel, the cigar store owner, earlier. Just ruined them. And Charlie's first. And I mean, this guy is just the worst. The worst guy. I mean, I'm putting him above Mike Dukakis on my list. He's the worst governor, and he doesn't care. He talks about Trump having no compassion. He is devoid of compassion, concern. He puts people out of work, puts businesses out of business, and says, yeah, whatever, virus. Okay, we know it's not about the virus. We've been exposed. That's over. We're moving on from the virus. Can people attempt to salvage their businesses? Would that be okay with you?
No,
it's going to get. It's going to get worse, though.
Michael. It's not okay, and you're full of hate, obviously. And you know, this was so. I love this too, but this attitude about businesses is, why are you even defending? Business will be fine. This is always spoken by someone who has never had to be responsible for writing their own check in their life. You know, Jerry, you've just joined the group that I've long been part of, the self-employed. You have to go out and, you know, beg for money to prop up this pathetic little attempt at a podcast. You know, shout out, you before that you were living large in the media. They're just dumping money at you from Intercom and whatnot. Shattuck will soon be joining us, obviously, because he's still in the media and all those jobs are going away. But those of us who've had to actually go out and have to wake up in the morning going, I've got bills to pay. I have to go find the revenue to pay those bills. We have a very different attitude about what's happening to these businesses. My dad had a TV repair shop back in the day. He had the biggest one in the state, actually, for a while. And what happened? You know, the economics changed. China started making TVs for $12, and his business just went out of business. And every day, he had to wake up and figure out, how do I keep my guys working? How do I keep this open? No one, no help, no protest, no nothing. It's just, and across the country, there are millions of small business owners who have to do that same thing. And now they wake up and they go, we're going to punch you in the face with COVID. Boom. And then they wake up and go, oh, by the way, when someone burns you down, boom, we're going to kiss them on the face because screw COVID, which we just shut you down for 3 months. And we don't know why. What's up to you?
And as Shattuck points out, the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, you're still shut down. We still have the
virus. Exactly. I
mean, and think of this. If you're one of these guys, you own the cigar store. It's trash. They stole stuff. They broke your windows. You got no revenue. Mm-hmm. And you get the mail today and there's a tax bill. And
sure, of course.
You know, a tax bill. I'm paying for what? They won't protect me. If I, you know, I can't call the cops and say they're looting. Cops say, you know, what can we do?
Right.
You know, they're everywhere. So tonight, there's going to be a bunch more businesses, maybe malls, that get trashed. Mm-hmm. And the owners of those stores are helpless, defenseless. And you know what? They're lucky they're not in Polk County, because people loading up their shotguns around the country, not so much up here, and waiting. As I pointed that out earlier, where was that? Philadelphia. They broke in
the
store, and the owner was waiting, and he unloaded on them, killing one looter and wounding another, and they found the other looter in the emergency room waiting for treatment. So that's coming, and I don't blame them at all. It's going to get worse. I pointed out this earlier, Graham and Shattuck. Is tonight somebody I know who's very well connected said they're bracing for the worst. It's going to get worse. There's a bunch of groups that are mobilizing to maraud again tonight. Is that a maraud? They're going to be marauders. The barbarians are outside the gate coming on in tonight.
Well, I don't complain about paying my taxes because I don't expect the cops who are handing out donkeys to the rioters to have to pay for the coffee themselves. But I think we should chip in. I mean, it gets pretty expensive. You get the whole dozen of the crullers, it gets pretty expensive.
We have the congresswoman from the area that's being destroyed. Yes. Boston is raising money for the to bail out the looters. That's how insane, how upside down things are.
So we wrote a piece at Inside Sources over the weekend pointing out how the storyline of the conspiracy theory just took off. That all, you know, white supremacists, Russian nationalists were actually the ones who were rioting and looting. And it was a secret thing. And there's this really great guy whose job is he just studies conspiracy theories at the University of Miami. And he points out that they're even, you know, liberals and conservatives all have their own conspiracy theories and they're always ready to believe them. And this story was a perfect example. Because obviously when you watch the looting, you didn't know maybe exactly who was doing it, but you knew it wasn't white supremacists. So we write this piece and point out that all the evidence is contrary to the idea of outside agitators. All the evidence is right there. But I kept asking myself, if you really believe that this is a bunch of Russian-backed KKK members as part of their super secret infiltration program, why are you bailing them out? Wouldn't you want them in jail? So you're raising money to get the Klan member out of jail, Ayanna? Is that your plan? I'm sure Ayanna Pressley's super smart, way smarter than me. And there's some, once again, it's part of the conspiracy, and I don't understand it, but there you go.
The most beautiful thing about that is that was Susan Rice said that.
Yep, exactly.
Over the weekend, unchallenged by Blitzer.
Well, why would you challenge this? Obviously true. The Russians did it. Obviously. I don't
know. Russian. Their track record on riots and protests necessarily.
It was never a riot or protest ever until Donald Trump was elected as a Russian agent. That was the first time we had them. I remember when Donald Trump took the White House time machine and went back to Ferguson and sparked the riots on behalf of his Russian masters. I thought that was one of the worst moments of the president.
Would figure and would say, hey, you know, we asked you in 2012 about some protests in Benghazi, and you promise now that you're being straight, but not even prosecuted. Right. It was the Russian. Jeez, I got a team in Boston telling me to read the freaking Mueller report still.
Well, I guess that's the one of the benefits here. It exposes these narratives, these false narratives. It was funny that I heard a number of people. I heard Portnoy saying this. You know, the extremists on both sides.
Yep.
Wait. What extremists on the right side are you talking about? That's gone by the wayside. There are no extremists. There's no white supremacists. There's no Nazis or Klansmen.
Right.
This is simply about radical left wing anarchists, terrorists, looters, rioters. It's got nothing to do with the right wing. I mean, it's not extremists on both sides. And as I started off this little podcast here, Graham, why is it so hard for us all to just get together? Why can't we get together on one point? We all get together. We condemned Derek Chauvin, the cop. Everybody, 100% of the people condemned
him
and what he did. Why can't we do the same about the looters and the rioters? Why is that so hard?
No, I agree. And one of the things that's so fascinating, my lovely bride Buttercup is not a big time political person at all. And she is now obsessed with the concept of qualified immunity, which is what protects cops like Chauvin from being held responsible. You know, O.J. Simpson, when the jury let him walk, he had to go back and face a civil group, and he ended up being charged, whatever, $33 million, whatever. We can't do that to cops because of this notion. So she wants, her thing is, why can't we all rally around and change that one thing? That one thing could help, you know, keep bad cops off the force. It could help make families somewhat restored. It's a thing to do. Have you noticed that the rioters or protesters, and separate them out. Have you noticed even that the protesters, the peaceful protesters, don't seem to have any suggestions for solutions? And that's, I think when you say, why can't we rally around, give people a solution to rally around. Obviously, it's not going to be the whole solution, but it's something productive to rally around. I think we will rally around it.
I,
you know?
I, I think you're wrong. I think we heard one yesterday from a one of the candidates for president, Joe Biden. He was wearing his mask on his chin, I guess, to keep the drool. And he said, why can't we shoot unarmed suspects
in the leg? No, it's better than that. Does Cullinane have that? Because you got to hear the audio. Do we have it?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll pull it up.
Yeah, because there's a Bidenian phrase that leads up to it that's even dumber than what you just said. And by the way, you know, once again, I grew up in Redneckville. I had a gun from the time I was 9, whatever. I was the worst shot of anyone in my family. But even I knew if you have to shoot somebody, aim for the thick parts. That's what they teach every law enforcement professional, everybody.
I figured Biden saw that in a movie or maybe on Matlock.
Exactly.
Well, you remember said, why they shot him in the leg on Matlock. Why can't we do that? Other suggestion, and we'll get tired of hearing this because it's going to be the cliche going forward, is I will name a civilian review board for every police shooting or whatever. Like, that's like some innovation. We're going to have a civilian review board and we'll solve all our problems.
Hey, Shattuck, do you remember what Biden said about gun ownership in general, about why you don't need a semi-automatic weapon, whatever? All you need is a shotgun. And what do you do with the shotgun?
No.
Remember, he said, just take all you need is a double barrel shotgun. You stick it out over the balcony and fire a few rounds. It's a random, indiscriminate firing. That's all you need. Just stick it over there. I swear to God, he is one step away from being Foghorn Leghorn from the old one. I said, boy, bring me that shotgun.
Well, I think you're going to see that because they're easier to get. You can buy them. You don't need a permit to carry. You don't have to go to your police chief and beg for a pistol permit. So that's going to happen in the next few days. I've been predicting everything. I've been spot on. In the next few days, some store owners are going to unload their shotguns on looters. It's going to get ugly beginning here tonight. But do we have Biden, Dave, talking about shooting people in the leg?
Yeah, the sound isn't the greatest.
At a church. Well, it's sort of muffled. Yeah. He's got the face. I don't know.
Well, I'll help you out with the key phrase. If you don't hear it, listen, I'll help you with the key phrase.
Because we also have to fundamentally change the way in which police are trained.
Here you go.
Police are trained much more. Now, and by the way, there are a lot of people, overwhelmingly, it's African Americans who've been victimized, shot, and a lot of other people were shot and killed in the Hispanic community and the white community. And the idea that instead of standing there and teaching a cop when there's an unarmed person coming at him with a knife, trying to shoot him in the leg instead of in the heart, is a very different thing.
Jerry, when I'm coming at you as an unarmed person with my knife, do not shoot me because I'm unarmed. In fact, I've already got front row seats for Joe Biden swearing in January 20th, 2021. I will have my machete and my Lord of the Rings replica sword with me, because it's only a knife. You're unarmed as long as you have a knife.
And he'll shoot you in the leg.
With your unarmed person, yes.
Every cop who heard that is just laughing. So you're going to train us to aim for what, the knee?
Oh. Aim for the knife. And he's unarmed.
By the way, how inspiring was that? I mean, let's be honest. All the content aside, was that not the most inspiring speech yesterday you heard from the alternative to the evil orange man? This is the guy that half the country wants to be in charge of everything in 8 months, 9 months.
It's going to be tough to have that, to see how the media plays that the author of the 1994 crime bill
exactly
is running against the guy who signed the First Step Act, working with Van Jones, Cory Booker. You know, so it's interesting. I get the feeling we're not going to hear too much about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, by the way, Tom, don't forget his campaign staff also is donating money to bail out the looters. Bail out the rioters.
The unarmed looters.
Oh, that's right.
All they had were knives. And they were unarmed.
Here's my favorite part. The people, and there aren't many, who are defending the celebrities and the Steve Carells and the Christy Teigens and the Joe Bidens who are donating the money. They say, oh, no. That's just for peaceful protesters. question for you, Chrissy and Carell, you a-holes. Question, peaceful protesters, what are they being arrested for? I mean, they're not being arrested. The people who are being arrested, I mean, let's be honest, cops are stretched pretty thin right now. They're not out there arresting peaceful protesters. They're arresting rioters and looters and criminals, and you are paying their bail. You, Joe Biden's campaign, you're paying the bail of the people who are doing all the damage right now. It's insane. I think that's not a good campaign message, if you ask me. But what do I know? I'm a right-wing zealot. Anyway.
That also half of the country on the left, they didn't really care about this. Obviously, this is all about Trump. It was Ukraine. It was COVID. And then it was the race riots, the killing of the man. And now it's that Trump pushed people away from Lafayette Park using the military for a photo op, and they were mean to the media, et cetera. So the fact that they are so happy to jump to the next thing just tells you this is largely for half America. This is simply a mental health obsession.
And I think what, you know, at least half the left wants the tanks. They want the National Guard. They want the military. They're hoping it turns into Kent State at some point, at some level. They want fire hoses. They want dogs, and they want to say, see, you know, Trump is Bull Connor. That's the hope. And he's reluctant to do that for good reason, but I think he's going to have to. I think we're going to see it soon.
But well, guys, I got a paying gig, so I got to go.
You got to go to the, I was going to say, you're going to go to the beach today. It's a nice day. You're not allowed to, right? Still against the rules.
No, cannot go to the beach. Well, here's what you can. You can go in the water, but and you can move rapidly across the beach. But if you stop, say, to protest police violence, right, then you're under arrest. Right. Well, wait a minute. Now I'm confused. Maybe not. I'll get back to you on that one, but got to go. Got a date with a ghost.
All right. Thanks, Graham. That's our friend Michael Graham, who's all over this. He's good. He's good on Twitter. He's good on the New Hampshire Journal and everywhere else, the Herald. A lot of paying gigs. I don't know if they're actually paying, but he's got a lot of gigs, and he's all over this. Check him out. Shattuck, you're all over this, too. And what I like is you're always there to criticize the media. This has become sport, mocking these fools who are standing in front of burning buildings and saying, it's just peaceful. Just people who are blowing off steam, you know, because they're upset about George Floyd. I'm not sure half these people that were watching looting our cities even know who George Floyd is. I really don't.
You know, and you can't ascribe, you know, rage to a lot of folks who are laughing, running out of the Nike store, just absolutely celebrating. And they wouldn't even, like Graham just said, you know, some of these folks who were looting are saying, well, this is something about George Floyd. We get to do anything we want. And you kind of understand if you're a 20-year-old kid, it doesn't matter. When there's total chaos, you're getting off on it. It's crazy. You know, finally something different. You get to run through the streets and have free stuff, and people do it. But I mean, if anything, it kind of disgraces and brings dishonor to the memory of the poor guy who was killed at the beginning.
Right. I mean, his brother and his family members keep saying he wouldn't like this. He wouldn't want this. Let's stop this. But they don't care. It's about getting free stuff. It's about Antifa trying to, you know, disrupt the whole system and using people who are looking for free stuff. So they're using, we've seen the video of them giving them bricks, you know, saying, here, go to it. White, scrawny, white punk. Yeah. Giving, you know, young black kids bricks and saying, hey, see that store? Go nuts. They got lots of, you know, watches in there or sneakers in there, and they're doing it. The Antifa guys aren't actually looting stores. They're just showing them where the stores are and giving them the bricks.
And that's what's happening more than ever, Jerry. This scrawny white punk Antifa kids who, okay, I understand you want to be a punk and a thug, and that's fine. And you're from Wellesley, and you get to act like you're a real, you know, jihadist now. But when you try to jump onto the FedEx truck and drag the guy out and kill him, but instead he ends up running you over to save his own life, or for you to be salty about it, how dare he? I'm a victim. Screw you, man. Sorry.
Honestly, who wouldn't hit the gas pedal in that situation? The cops are, I think one of them suspended in New York or under investigation, de Blasio said, because they had the two cruisers, they surrounded them, and they kept going. And I'm like, so if they don't keep going, they could end up, you know, like Reginald Denny,
right,
getting their heads bashed in. They could die. Instead, they hit the gas. They didn't like run people over. They just kind of pushed them out of the way. Who wouldn't do that? I mean, that's a natural human instinct. You're trying to survive. But that's going to continue to happen. We've seen a lot of that. The truck driver, by the way, the truck driver in Minnesota, he was in fear of his life. The cops came as he was taking a beating, and they arrested him. You know, they arrested him because he drove into some people who were surrounding his truck. Hey, he's alive. I'm sure he feels like he had to do what he had to do to survive. But anyway, it's going to get interesting tonight. It's going to get ugly tonight in Boston and lots of other places. I have a feeling they're just getting warmed up, Shattuck. They're just getting warmed up, and I feel bad for all
So if we walk around Boston today, are we seeing a lot of people board up the windows and things like that?
Yes. Did you see last night the Antifa thugs were giving out crowbars to their, you know, their minions and saying pull the boards off, and they were looting stores that had been boarded up.
Yeah.
I'm sick of that.
Yeah, it's restaurant. Yes. Oyster Bar wanted to open up this place in the Back Bay, and or Oyster House, something it's called. It's a newer restaurant, and they went in there and they smashed everything. It's like Jesus.
And you haven't been able to open for 3 months because you have a petty tyrant as a governor and a petty tyrant as a mayor. So you can't open up and do business for 3 months. You're finally getting ready to open, and some punk, as you said, from Wellesley, or some punk from Sudbury shows up and trashes your place of business, which must be painful. But on top of that, nobody, mayors, governors, state reps, DAs, nobody is on your side. It must be so disheartening to be a small business owner. Good luck. Good luck to all of them. Is that it for our phone experiment, Cullinane? That's it.
No, we'll keep the phones. We'll keep the phones active. We had a few calls today, but you guys were on some good rants, so I didn't interrupt you as they were going on. So we'll keep it active. We'll keep it going.
Well, you know what we're going to do tomorrow? Get some people on the scene. We didn't do that. We were going to do that. We're going to try to find a man on the street, somebody who can be in the crowds tonight. I don't want you, throwing bricks, but infiltrate. Infiltrate. We need somebody. Just bring your phone, get some video, get some sound, and maybe we'll have you on tomorrow and talk about it, because there are lots of lots of first person stories. We like those, the store owners, the people, the residents. Hell, if you have a home and you feel like you're under siege, these punks, these anarchists are threatening to go into the suburbs. They're threatening to go into the malls.
Yes.
I hope the police are allowed to do their job. If you missed it earlier, we showed you the Facebook post Cullinane did from the commissioner, who is very frustrated. Elected officials are ordering them not to wear protective headgear in certain situations because they don't like the optic. If that's not a scandal, and I know Turtle Boy will be all over it, but if that's not a scandal for every TV station, every newspaper, if there are any left in New England, I don't know what is. The police are being told, according to the commissioner, it's not like it's a good source, it's just the commissioner, they're being told they can't wear their headgear, their protective gear, in certain situations.
Yes, and guidance for businesses during the riots and looting is that phase two has not been fully implemented. Please check with Governor Baker. And by the way, who was good enough to give props to Karen Pulido and her team yesterday. I thought it was nice for him to take time out for that.
Because they had such a good party at that graduation. That give him props for the apps. She made some great guac. They had a great, punch or something. I mean, honest to God, Karen Pulido, who had a big graduation party days after telling people they weren't allowed to have graduation parties. That's one of the people, I left her out, one of the people making the decisions in this time of crisis. And again, the governor is more concerned with social distance, not for protesters, not for anarchists, but for the rest of you. You have to wear your masks and keep your distance and go inside. By the way, we have a curfew. We have a curfew in Boston. A curfew. I think it's 9 p.m. Is it 9 p.m.? The curfew in New York is 11 p.m. Whoever heard of a curfew at 11? The rioting starts at like 9 when it's dark. The curfew in the black, I think Philadelphia is like 7.
Yeah.
In New York, it's 11. Because that idiot de Blasio wants to give his daughter time enough to riot. It's out of control. But we'll do this again tomorrow. And then we're going to be all over it. We're going to get you.
You know what we should do, Jerry?
First-person accounts of what happens, what unfolds tonight in the city.
Every time I make a little challenge on this show, the listeners actually do show up and execute. So if we get 15 reviews on our Apple podcast page, right, go leave us a review. We'll do. Why don't we do a live stream tonight, like we did the other night? To be honest, that was kind of fun, don't you know? Don't you think?
Yeah, we did a podcast too, and it was kind of awkward.
We'll do a watch along tonight. We can pull up the feed like we did. We'll do a watch along. Well, a nice little marketing event. It doesn't have to make the podcast tomorrow.
We need somebody on the street. I know Shattuck's not up for it. He's too famous anyway. You can't be famous. You got to be undercover. And so we need someone on the street to give us a first-person report from I don't know where it'll be. Newbury Street, Downtown Crossing. Maybe it'll be near the garden. They better leave the Legacy Club alone. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to come out there with, my paintball gun and go unload on these punks if they go near the Legacy Club. But we will, we'll have it all for you tomorrow. Thanks, Shattuck. And thanks to Shea Concrete and Allied Paving. And thanks to our friends at DCU. Thanks, Cullinane. We will, we'll be all over this tomorrow morning. This is the Callahan Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
I don't. Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.